There's news AT&T will not offer a China-designed smartphone as planned, reportedly because of pressure from Washington amid security concerns. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The plan had been a big announcement today. AT&T would carry a phone made by the China-based electronics company Huawei, but AT&T has pulled out of selling the Mate 10 Pro smartphone amid reported national security concerns. I'm joined by Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Good morning.
Morning, David.
Why was this deal important for Huawei?
Well, because most of the smartphones sold in the U.S. are through carriers. Now, Huawei started out as a telecommunications equipment company, but it's branched out into smartphones, and they wanted to make themselves more of a household name. This deal with AT&T would have done that, and it would have been its first big push into the U.S. market.
But that deal was not to be. But what do we know about why this deal has suddenly fallen apart?
Well, what we're hearing is it's because of security concerns. The U.S. Senate and House Intelligence Committees reportedly sent a letter to the FCC citing concerns about Chinese espionage. Reuters says it has seen a copy of this letter. Now, Huawei themselves, they have not elaborated on why this deal had collapsed. They have said they are compliant with the world's most stringent privacy protection. But Huawei's head of consumer business group, Richard Yu, still had to stand up and present in front of a group of people at CES in Las Vegas. And he said the collapse of the deal is quite a big loss for Huawei, the carrier, but more so for the consumers.
Yes, CES, the Consumer Electronics Show going on out there. Now, U.S. officials have blocked several deals between U.S. and Chinese companies recently.
Yeah, Washington has a lot of concerns about Chinese investments, especially in high tech and industries dealing with security. A deal by Ant Financial, which is a part of the Alibaba Group, to buy MoneyGram was recently killed. And some experts say this is the way things should be, because American companies are restricted from accessing a lot of sectors here in China that are deemed sensitive by the government. So they say Chinese companies should be treated the same in the U.S.
Marketplace's Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
People will still be able to get a Huawei phone with its Leica-branded camera lens in the U.S. independently and then assign it to their mobile phone carrier if they wish. It's also possible another carrier might adopt the Huawei phone. Let's check the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 1 point, but Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.5% range. The 10-year Treasury yield up sharply again this morning, now at 2.6%. Despite the tough rhetoric about promoting America made, the number of vehicles imported to the U.S. from Mexico reached an all-time high last year. Mexico's auto industry exported 2.3 million vehicles, which is nearly a 10% increase from the last year of the Obama administration. As Marketplace's Rima Kreis reports, the push to renegotiate NAFTA hasn't slowed down production.
Last year, for every 100 cars sold here, 14 were made in Mexico. And many of them were trucks, says David Whiston, an auto equity analyst at Morningstar.
Pickups, crossovers, SUVs, minivans, those are now about 65% of the market.
GM builds some of its most popular pickups in Mexico, and along with other auto manufacturers, it's been drawn to the country by low labor costs and free trade pacts. Whiston says even though the fate of NAFTA is unclear, it hasn't stopped companies there from growing.
Toyota, for example, is in the midst of expanding a Tijuana plant to make more Tacomas, and then they're going to open up a whole new plant there as well.
Mauro Guillen is an international relations professor at Wharton. He says changes to NAFTA could include tighter regulations as a way of encouraging more production in the U.S. But
so I think it is doubtful that the jobs wouldn't necessarily come back to the United States. Instead, it might actually shift towards Asia, towards another low-cost manufacturing location.
He also says any new trade restrictions could mean higher prices for consumers. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
There's the gender pay gap and the race wage gap. A report today from the San Francisco Bay Area now on what restaurants pay their workers. Some have started training initiatives after surveys by an employee advocacy group found that on average, workers of color earn less in restaurants than white employees. Tips play a key role here, as KQED's Sam Harnett reports.
Good morning, Alta Restaurant. Corey speaking. How may I help you?
It's taken Corey Woods a while to get used to talking to customers at this fine dining restaurant in San Francisco.
I'm urban African American. I'm dealing with a lot of Caucasian people with money. people who I've never been exposed to. So initially, it was hard communicating with them.
Wood started working in restaurants 30 years ago, but he was always in the kitchen or back of the house. Then he went through a new training program at Alta Restaurant to learn how to work in the front of the house. Now he's waiting tables, making tips, and earning more money. Almost double.
I come here and I get an $11 pay increase from $14 an hour to $25 an hour.
Alta and Homeroom, another local restaurant, started training programs with help from Restaurant Opportunities Centers United. It's the organization that surveyed restaurant workers in over a dozen cities and found a race wage gap in the industry. At a panel on the issue, Saro Jayaraman, the organization's president, says of all the places they examined, the San Francisco Bay Area had the worst restaurant race wage gap in the country.
There is a $5.50 wage gap between white workers and workers of color in the Bay Area.
So far, about 40 employees have gone through the training program at Alta Group's several restaurants. Gabriel Barba directs the effort.
Our training programs are designed to give everyone equal opportunity.
Barbara says it's rare for restaurants to help workers like Corey Woods transition from the kitchen to the front of the house. Woods used to wash dishes. Now he's setting tables. Woods says he never expected a fancy restaurant would invest in training him.
You know, I'm proud to say to this day that I'm considered a success story. You know, I have two vehicles. You know, I never thought I would be the owner of a life insurance policy.
Woods is originally from Missouri. He says the new waiting job is the only reason he can get by in the expensive Bay Area. In San Francisco, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And how to boost your stock in just a snap. Stock in Kodak closed up 117% yesterday. It's up another 46% in after-hours trading now. Remember Kodak, the 130-year-old photography company? It's just jumped into the Bitcoin craze by announcing what it calls Kodak Coin. The idea is to use the secure ledger technology that underlies Bitcoin to help photographers track rights and royalties for their images. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.